This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from the New Media Production Studio. In the stories tonight, $100 billion in electric vehicle rebates. Earth is being entombed, yes, entombed by dead satellites. T-Mobile has brought out all the guns, and they're going after our internet service providers. And Wix is on a campaign to trash WordPress. I want to welcome you to episode 1519 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, April 8th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to all the new listeners. Thanks for being here. Thanks for checking the show out. And of course, I want you to make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content on the website. The writers have been very, very busy over there over the past couple of days. And I've got a mouse that is like, okay, yes, you can move. Come over to geeknewscentral.com. What you want to do is get subscribed to the podcast and right there on the right-hand column of the website. And you want to check out the newsletter as well while you're on the website. That'll get you all the way linked up with us. And of course, you can join our chat room at geeknews.chat. That's a Mastodon chat server, or our Discord channel linked it to geeknewscentral.com on the show notes. And today I'm trying Clubhouse out as a one-way transmission path. So if you're on Clubhouse, you can actually listen in on Clubhouse as well. You can contact me very simply via email, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Or, of course, you can follow me on Twitter at geeknews. And, of course, follow me on Facebook. All the partner shows are linked to geeknewscentral.com. That includes the New Media Show, the Pro Gear Site, the Gadget Professor, GNC Live, which we are now podcast legends, and the GNC Week in Review done by Kirk Corliss. And Kirk reminded me today, sometime this week, it'll be his four-year anniversary of being the executive producer of this show. And we want to congratulate Kirk for 4 years of good work, saving me probably an hour to 90 minutes of production every night on the podcast. So big thanks to Kirk for his ongoing work. Tonight, all the articles were sourced by him. I only added one tonight that I found kind of midstream of getting ready to do the show. So congratulations to Kirk on his four-year anniversary, and just check us out. Check out his GNC Week in Review show as well. So, of course, this show is sponsored by the longest-running continuous sponsor of a podcast, and that's our good friends at GoDaddy.com. We want to make sure that you save lots of money when it comes to domain names, hosting accounts, new product purchases, and so forth. So if you're not in the market for a hosting account or a domain name, or you pick something else over there, don't forget about that 30% off on new product purchases code that's available. That's really, really super critical that you keep that in mind, that you're able to save that money on those products and services. Of course, we still have the $499.com or newer transfer domains for new customers only. Also, and this applies to everybody, the $1 a month economy hosting for the first year of the free domain, or a $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year with a free domain. Again, a buck a month, $12 gets you online, gets you a website, gets you a new business, gets you a blog, gets you started as a podcaster. This is the way to go to get online. And again, definitely when you pick out that package, you're going to get that $12 for the first year, but make sure you kind of do a little check and see what year two, year three is going to cost you in the product or service that you pick out. Of course, we got the free trial of GoDaddy Website Builder, your choice of personal business or business plus plans. That's a one-month free trial, so definitely check those all out. We want to thank GoDaddy for their longtime sponsorship of the podcast and ongoing support of the show. It is greatly appreciated. So let me explain. I'm on new iron tonight. Well, new router iron. And I bought an Asus model of a router. It's a gaming router. It replaced a Netgear router that, it appears to me, what happened was, and I'm still kind of holding my breath because I put this new router in place today. What would happen And what we would see is I would be on my any desktop and I would type in a domain name and I would hit enter and the web page would just like stall. There was no response, no updating. And oftentimes the router before, I've a couple of times caught it completely locked up. The lights weren't blinking or nothing. So that hardware is off. The new hardware is on. And really, I've got to look at the date I bought that Netgear. I may still be able to send it back or get a refund or replacement because it wasn't that long ago, less than a year. So I'm pretty sure that the warranty is still good on it. And now, no problem whatsoever. Type in the domain name on the web. Boom, bam, it loads like it's supposed to. And we'd had some streaming issues too. So maybe, you know, who knows, tonight we all things will probably fail. But I am definitely, for a better word, trying to, you know, make sure that my time is productive because I was getting really, 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 really frustrated. And the cable company says not their issue. It was pretty easy switch out. I plugged it in, got it connected to the modem, used the same passwords and Wi-Fi names, basically did that configuration the same, let it get up and running and did a couple of updates. I went through and changed the IP scheme because it was using 192.168 at that 50.1, and that's not what I use here. And rebooted it a couple more times and probably 15 minutes. I was plugging the four other LAN cables into it and everything came back online. 31 devices reconnected. And I couldn't believe it. I said, wow, there's 31 devices. I started walking through counting. And every camera that's in here has an IP address. So they add up pretty fast. I'm using some of those Wyze cameras too. I love those things. If you guys are not, that's the camera. Don't buy a Nest camera. Wyze. That's who to buy. And they've got a great lineup of tools and services. So anyway, it's been a long week, long hours. I am physically tired this week. Not necessarily mentally, just physically tired. Speaking at Pod Fiesta, an Australian podcast conference is kicking off very, very soon. And most importantly, though, I got my car into the tire dealer where I had my summer tires or my, you know, my normal rubber. And I had snow tires on and had them replaced. And we were looking at the tires and the guy says, yeah, you're going to get a season out of those. He says, but by the end of the year, you're going to need new shoes on this car. And we're looking at it, and I was just like, this thing doesn't, I've done two winters on winter tires. I probably got 20,000 miles, maybe, on these tires. And he says, yeah, those things are just not set up to last a long time. So he spec'd me out some tires that have a 65,000-mile warranty on them. And I know a lot of that doesn't really make much sense, but I tell you, any cars, and this is the car I bought, the Ford Edge. And when tires don't last you 20, 25,000 miles, something's wrong. And the replacement cost, if I went with the Pirellis that are on there, oh my God. So no, we're going to go to a more American brand, I guess is what we'll say there. If that's such a thing, and if actually tires are made in America anymore, I don't know. But so I've got a good show lined up for you today. Let me make sure I got through everything in the show notes. Yep, I did. But I hope you're well. Hope you're doing okay and staying safe. But we'll kick right off here into one of the top stories of the evening. Website maker Wix. And I tell you, we have to deal with Wix podcasters on Wix all the time. Not the platform of choice for sure. But they're embarking on a weird WordPress trashing campaign, sending influencers who use WordPress headphones, and they say from WP. And it's a little bit of a dirty trick. I don't understand this. WordPress has 64.7% market share worldwide and used in some measure by 40.9% of active websites. Wix, by contrast, has 2.4% market share, though that is enough to place it fifth behind Squarespace, but above Drupal. So I wish I would have been one of these influencers, because they sent them Bose 700 headphones. And it's strangely, they put a barcode in there and it says yours, and they use WP, and the barcode leads to a video that is kind of creepy and it trashes WordPress. So people are upset. Well, WordPress folks are upset. The founder of WordPress put out a post. He said, Mullingwood said, Wix and their dirty tricks. And in the post, he recalls an earlier episode in the Wix, when Wix was founded to be using WordPress code, which was GPL licensed. Mullingwood also linked to another video in the Wix campaign in which the same actor represents WordPress as an absent father who is unstable sometimes when I press the update button. So it's rather odd, he says, that this would happen. And we note that Wix is closed. It's a closed source platform, not like WordPress. It's open. Of course, Geek News Central runs on WordPress, has for many, many years. And we got some serious hardware behind this website. And it's pretty snippy now with the changes we made the last time we lost a server. But anyway, so bada bing, bada boom, a little bit of a little spat going on. So we'll see what happens. T-Mobile, on the other hand, is coming for America's cable internet giants. So they made some major headlines yesterday announcing it's giving away 5G phones in exchange for any mobile phone. But it's the company's new 5G home internet service that really deserves attention, called T-Mobile Home Internet. Available in parts of 49 states. I already checked my house address. It's not there yet. The service takes direct aim at Comcast, Cox's, and Charter's of the world, promising in-home network speeds averaging 100 megs per second with unlimited data and no caps. They say there's 30 million homes that are eligible now for T-Mobile's 5G high-speed internet, $60 a month. The service, which costs $60 a month without yearly price increases, compared to $39 per month for 12 months and $89 per month thereafter for a comparable Comcast plan, is one of the new generation 5G home internet offerings. Rather than relying on a cable from a pole running to your home, 5G internet uses a carrier-available 5G capacity. Bring the internet to your house. You set up a router near a window, which pulls down the 5G signal that you can share throughout your home. And T-Mobile says the service provides a number of benefits over traditional internet providers. But one thing that they're going to do is they're going to cap the number of users in an area as they grow the service out. So is it really a data cap? Well, this is where let's get into the nitty gritty here. The cost of growing your cap. See, T-Mobile says a service provides interbench a traditional internet. T-Mobile doesn't have any caps, which is a controversial strategy from internet providers in which they charge a consumer fee exceeding a prism amount of data download or upload each month. And we know that many cable providers do that. So if that's the case, and they are actually going to have no data caps, this is big. Now, I haven't seen a 5G signal on a T-Mobile phone yet, but this is big. This is big if they're able to roll this out in rural areas, which I'm questionable. This could give Elon and company a run for the money. So we'll see what happens. But for $60 a month for 100 megs, for those of us that don't have any connectivity, or 12, it was my my internet was stuttering last night. It was horrible. Every 60 seconds, YouTube video was going around and around a circle. It just sucked. So I worked on paperwork last night. It just sucked. So come on, Elon. Come on, T-Mobile. Let's go. And by the way, SpaceX launched 60 more satellites yesterday. Got them up, deployed them. They're doing about a launch a week. It's really an incredible pace. Great story over on Engadget. One, you know, I normally skim these articles, but this is one I read from beginning to end. And the entitlement of this article is, "We're entombing the Earth in an impenetrable shell of dead satellites. Of course, we know that Sputnik, launched in 1957, marked the first time that man put an object over the Earth. But in the 64 years since, today more than 3,000 satellites circle the Earth, and they're joined by millions of pieces of space debris, such as bits of broken satellites, discarded rocket parts, and flecks of spacecraft paint. NASA estimates there are around 6,000 tons of debris in low Earth orbit alone. The orbital refuse doesn't just create a nav hazard for astronauts, it also reflects sunlight down the sea." That's what's going to happen. At some point, there's going to be a hole punched through an spacecraft. It's just going to happen at some point. There's no way really to avoid it. Even more concerning, researchers expect the amount of debris in orbit to increase by an order of magnitude over the next decade as mega constellations of internet beaming mini satellites like SpaceX Starlink program really takes off. So this just goes on and on. It talks about, it's really addressing the astronomers and the challenges they're going to have. So definitely a good read. Link will be up in the show notes. You definitely want to check it out. But probably the article of the night. Now, we all have heard about this $2.2 trillion spending plan. It's not the budget. This $2.2 supplemental spending plan that is going to be used, $2.25 trillion, with about $200 billion in it after going into true infrastructure. But there's $100 billion in it for $100 billion in electric vehicle rebates. Now, to give you some perspective, the Obama administration originally allocated $2.4 billion in funding for the federal EV tax credit program, which awards up to $7,500 for a buyer filing taxes. If $2.4 billion can take $7,500 off the price of a car with a tax credit, imagine what $100 billion could do to subsidize an EV at the point of sale. And this is where it's going to happen. They're talking about an incentive at the point of sale. GM and Tesla are pretty happy about this because guess what? Those automakers no longer qualify for EV tax credits from the feds after surpassing the credit threshold in 2020 and 2019. There's not a lot of details about this, but I am sure it will continue to trickle. $100 billion? Think about that. That's a big number. You go to the car dealer and there's a, you know, $45,000. What is it? What is the base cost of one of the basic Tesla cars? $35,000, $45,000? I know the high-end models are really, really expensive. But, or you go to Toyota or whoever, you know, the price of those vehicles are not much cheaper than their gas-borne cousins. And let's say they give each person $10,000. You know, let's say you get a $10,000 instant rebate on the price of the vehicle. The thing's 45, it goes down to 35. You put 10 down, you're at 25. That's a much, much lower car payment. So we will see what the government does here. But if I, you know, knowing how things are going right now, if I was in the market for an electric vehicle, I would pause. I would wait. There would be no way I would trade, sell, or buy an EV right now. I would wait. Because if they're going to get, if they get $100 billion as compared to the $2.4 billion in the old program, you know, happy days. Well, you know, who's going to pay for that, right? You do realize it's the taxpayers. So you are a taxpayer. So if you want to, you know, whatever this rebate is going to be, you know, let's be kind of honest here. $100 billion, that's from printing money, but at some point it's going to have to be paid for. So, or the $2.2 trillion or whatever it is. But that $100 billion, I might just go buy an electric vehicle out of spite. You know, to be honest with you. But we'll see what kind of, you know, the thing is the range. The range is just the thing. The thing is the range. Rural America, it just doesn't work so good. You live in a big city, probably no sweat. Like I've told you, I can't even tell you where any EV charging stations are in this town. I'm sure there are some. I know where some Tesla ones are about 20 miles away, but I've never seen an EV charging station just rolling into any parking lot in this town. General Motors has idled more North American plants as chip shortage drags on. So this is bad. This is going on. This is bad for everybody. And actually, I think I told you this. I came out of Jimmy John's the other day, getting some lunch or somewhere. And I pulled into the Ford dealership just to drive through the parking lot because it looked funny to me. And there was like three F-150s. That was it. And they had some other small mini cars off the side. They had no inventory. None. So, but GM has indicated that 8 assembly plants are affected by the temporary closure. And it's all about chip shortages, semiconductor chips. Because guess who makes the chips? The Chinese. So as global chip shortages dragged on, automakers including GM and Ford have had to idle plants and shuffle resources to the production of higher margin vehicles like SUVs. GM told TechCrunch that it has not taken downtime or reduced shift at any of its full-size truck or full-size SUV plants. It's also prompted automaker to build vehicles without specific parts. For instance, GM said last month that certain pickups would be produced without a fuel management module, a device that will prevent these vehicles from achieving top fuel economy performance. Automakers have all issued guidance on how the shortage will affect financial results. Ford has said if the semiconductor shortage scenario is extended through the first half of 2021, the shortage could lower its earnings between $1 and $2.5 billion net of cost recoveries and some production makeup in the second half of the year. Wow. That's a big number. The automotive industry, and this is on top of all the COVID stuff that's been going on, and probably they're already talking heavy lockdowns again in my state. That's being rumored because we're top 4 in new infections. They're talking about complete restaurant shut. I mean, it's like crazy what they're talking about doing again. So haven't they learned? What they should do, again, if they proceed on this madness to shut everything down again in this state, they need to shut down Walmart. They need to stop Amazon deliveries. They need to shut down Myers, all of them, everything. Shut it all down. And then we'll see what people do. Well, oh no, we can't do that. Can't let the big boxes make any money. But we're going to screw the small. If I was a small business owner, I think I would put a soda. I would carry milk, bread. I would just have in my store, I would have milk and bread and just some essential shopping stuff in my bread. So when they told me I had to shut down, it's like, hey, I'm essential. I have milk and bread for sale. You can't close me. I think that's, if I was a shoe store, I'd sell milk and bread, essential stuff. That's what I would do, I think. Public vote counting starts for Amazon Union Drive in Alabama. And so far, an early test or early ballot counts, it appears that they're winning. So we'll see what happens. So 3,200 to 5,800 workers at BHM1. Again, a fulfillment center in Bessemer, Alabama. This particular fulfillment center opened in March of last year. And union effort began taking shape not long after employees were frustrated with the company's strict and automatically enforced productivity metric, the grueling pace of work, and an atmosphere many describe as dehumanizing and disrespectful. So, and of course, Amazon has fought unionization, so we'll see what happens. Hey, again, if you're watching live, make sure you check in and say hello. Hi, Liz. Thanks for watching the show tonight. Verizon is recalling 2.5 million hotspots that could overheat and cause burn or fire damage. The Consumer Protection Safety Commission says the device's batteries are the source of the overheating. So it's the Ellipsis Jetpack model hotspot. So the ELLIPSIS Jetpack model. Models MHS-900L, MHS-900LS, and the MHS-900LPP were imported by Franklin Wireless Corp. and sold between April 2017 and March of this year. It's the round one. I don't have the... Wait for the screen to catch up here. Come on. There we go. It's a round one. That's what it kind of looks like. It's not a square one. So they're going to recall 1.3 million of these devices, which is pretty crazy. So anyway, if you've got one of these Verizon hotspots, please be aware of that recall effort and get yourself a new one before it burns your house down. Hey, well, of course, I want to welcome everyone on Twitter, on Twitch, on Facebook, and on YouTube Live. And, of course, we've got one guest in Clubhouse. So this is just a live recording of the Geek News Central podcast. Thanks for joining in. You can watch the show live at live.geeknewscentral.com, live.geeknewscentral.com. Hey, hackers scrapped data from 500 million LinkedIn users. Here we go again. About two-thirds of the platform's universe and have posted it for sale online. LinkedIn says it's investigating and confirmed that the data set includes scraped data from the site. The news comes after personal data from 533 million Facebook users were also found to be exposed and made publicly available. So what did they get? The posted data set appears to include publicly available information scraped from LinkedIn, but data aggregated from other websites or companies. So maybe it's not logins and stuff. But, data includes account IDs, full name, email addresses, phone numbers, workplace information, genders, and links to other social media accounts. Most of that is pretty public. So I guess they didn't get the password. So anyway, that's where we're at on another hack or scrape or whatever the data is here. It said scrape data, not hack data. So Rocket Lab down in New Zealand. Of course, Rocket Lab is looking to be the next reusable rocket launch platform. And they're using a parachute right now to bring it in and land it in the water, then recover the rocket. They're getting ready to do another launch here. But they just did a test as well where they took the first stage to 8,000 feet, dropped it with a drug chute, and then opened up it almost looked as if it was the same type of parachute that paragliders use, and then they hooked that with another helicopter and took it back to base. So very, very cool. When it comes to parachutes and cloth and ropes and bungee cords or whatever else they're using this thing, when the helicopter, I want that hook to be way under the helicopter. I don't want to get any of that material need near a helicopter prop because that could end up in a bad way. But anyway, Rocket Lab continues to make their moves. Imagine you have went and bought yourself your dream car. You went and bought a Tesla. You paid cash for it. You did the payment through an ACH transfer from your bank. So you dumped $35, $45, $65, $100,000 from your savings or checking account, only a few days later to have them hit it again. They had a double billing problem. The owners affected by large paid for their vehicles in full via ACH transfers, and it seems the problem stemmed from a bug in the wire transfer. So they got paid twice. Well, I guess the money has come back. Imagine you're paying for a car twice. And for the inconvenience, Tesla has issued a $200 coupon that you can use in the company's online store. So I think they sell the Tesla online store, I think they sell those flamethrowers. So maybe a good opportunity to put one of those to use. But I think a lot of people's bank accounts probably bounced. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't have that kind of money in a bank account. Four ways to scan for viruses without buying antivirus software. First of all, why? You know, there's some methods to scan your computers for malicious programs without using any third-party antivirus software, but should you? MakeUseOf.com has some instructions on how to do this. Of course, looking for symptoms, looking at unusual activity in your task manager. Use the built-in Windows Defender for you Windows users. Use the command prompt to run some tools, but you really, you don't want to get in it at the Windows registry. I've done that before in the early days before antivirus was good. Just run a good antivirus program. I've run Norton for years, and I run Malwarebytes for malware on my Macs and my PCs. Knock on wood, everything's been good. No issues. That's the way you should go. The United States restricts 7 Chinese supercomputing entities over national security concerns. Listen to this. Again, the United States has restricted 7 Chinese supercomputing entities over national securities. The restrictions come because of worry supercomputers could be used in development of weapons of mass destruction and more. The United States has expanded its list of restricted companies and government labs whose supercomputing abilities are used by Chinese military actors. It's destabilizing military modernization efforts and or weapons or math MWDs. Inclusion on the entity list, as it's called, means these groups have to apply for licenses from the Commerce Department if they want to get goods from U.S. suppliers. The additions on the list are, I'm not going to go through and read these, but the Chinese embassy in Washington, D.C. did not respond to a request for comment, but they have been threatening President Biden here recently on some things. They said, if you pull out of the Olympics, which they are hinting that they may do, they said you will pay a heavy price. So pretty heavy threat there. But, you know, maybe if China wouldn't quit ghosting people and sending them re-education plants. You know, camps, not plants. They might end up as plants. Plant food, maybe. So, I know that it's never good to use athletes as political tools. But do people really understand how bad they are? I don't think people do. Amazon's Prime Day could happen as soon as June. Amazon's summertime shop event could be moved up a month. It's a big day of discounts, which I've really never, ever found much of a deal. I usually get like a micro SD cards during Prime Day. That seems to be the time. But it's always Amazon selling their speakers and home gadgets. And, you know, how many do you need? You've got an Alexa in almost every room now, right? And so we'll see what happens. They haven't made the official announcement, but it's forthcoming. Apple's also pushed back MacBook iPad production due to supply shortage. Report says the tech giant's production computer tablets apparently strained due to the global supply chain shortage. It's, again, shortage chips reportedly causing delays in production. So, you know, do you think the Chinese are delaying chips on purpose? I would not be surprised. Everything from the PS5 to the Ford F-150. Can't get chips. Who makes the chips? The Chinese. When are we going to start making our own chips here in America again? Come on now. If it isn't becoming evident what's going on, wake up, people. Wake up. Don't become woke. Become waked. I just made that up. No offense to any of you that are woke. Verizon and Honda want to use 5G and edge computing to make driving safer. So Honda and Verizon are researching how 5G and mobile edge computing might improve safety for today's connected vehicles. The two companies, which announced a partnership Thursday, are piloting different safety scenarios at the University of Michigan to test as a test bed for connected and autonomous vehicles. The aim of the venture is to study how 5G coupled with edge computing can allow for faster communication between cars, pedestrians, and infrastructure. So this is a preliminary research phase, and Honda does not intend to implement this new tech, but they're doing their thing. Expedia has launched a new tool to check coronavirus travel restrictions. Travelers can get info about restriction, rules for masking, and quarantine at their destination. So as travel starts to open up, you're supposed to follow the rules. If you go to New York, got to quarantine for 14 days, right? I think that's still in effect. Who's following that? I don't think anyone is following that. But if you're traveling from Boston to Toronto, as this sample shows, well, you can't go. First of all, you can't even fly unless you're like some superhero and, you know, essential worker type that gets a wave. But if you go to Canada, you have to quarantine 14 days, first 3 days in a designated hotel. Then you got to go back to your point of wherever you're staying and stay there another 11 days. What's the use in getting a vaccine if we're going to still have to quarantine? I keep saying this. I don't get it. All right. Moving on here. Facebook. This is kind of weird. Facebook asked people to share their age and gender to create a fair artificial intelligence data set. So Facebook is sharing a new and diverse data set with the wider AI community. So basically, they had 3,011 people. I wonder, you know, they had to pay them. You know, 3,011 people across created 45,000 videos doing specific speech, motions, and all kinds of things to be able to provide a data set for facial recognition. What's significant about casual conversation is what it called, is that it involves paid actors of Facebook explicitly asked to share their age and gender. The company also hired trained professionals to label ambient lighting and the skin tones of those involved. According to the Fitzpatrick scale, a dermatologist developed a system for classifying human skin colors. Facebook claims the data set is the first of its kind. Uh-huh. Facial recognition shared with the artificial intelligence community. How does that make you feel? Amazon is warning Texas, don't pass bill that would drive up wind power costs. Well, I don't think Texas is going to do what Amazon says. I think they're going to do what they want to do. Texas doesn't like being told what to do. Today, the Texas House of Representatives scheduled to debate a bill that would require power producers to bear the cost of services that help keep the electrical grid stable. If the bill passes, it would unfairly shift the cost of ancillary electric services exclusively onto renewable generators rather than all the beneficiaries, according to a letter written by Partnership for Renewable Energy. Industry group and signed by Amazon, Berkshire Hathaway Energy, Goldman Sachs, and of course, a bunch of other rich people. So basically, they want, because of this, what is going on with this mouse? And the battery is not dead. It's just like sticking. Did you hear me slam it on the table? So the bill would require the grid operator, Electricity Reliability Council of Texas, to directly sign ancillary service costs to wind and solar power. Specifically, they counter that the PREF letter counters that not only do all generators utilize ancillary services, but costs for the services remain flat over the last decade. So basically, they know that a nuclear oil plant can ramp up right away. Just, you know, turn the generators up, right? Where wind and solar are really, you know, rely on the weather. And that's how they make their predictions on how much power they're going to generate is weather models. Well, you know how predictable the weather is. So they want to be able to maintain emergency reserve and a certain amount of generating capacity. So thing like happened this winter where, you know, half the state was out of power. They don't want that to happen again. They want to have storage, electric storage, you know, batteries and so forth. I don't know if that would have fixed anything, but they also want people to fix their water lines or gas lines, make them so they won't freeze. Because that was a big part of the issue too, was it was so cold that none of their water or lines that were used to cool generators and so forth were set up to be able to handle freezing weather. And they could have run the generators, but they couldn't have cooled them. Moving on, the FTC urges courts not to dismiss Facebook antitrust case. And of course, Facebook is urging a federal judge to reject the case against them. So they basically submitted a 56-page legal brief reiterating its arguments that Facebook's profits have come from years of anti-competitive conduct. And this happens a lot about the purchase of Instagram and WhatsApp, and really that move that they made here. So rumors on the street, too, is that Clubhouse is worth $4 billion. That's the valuation of Clubhouse right now, which is absolutely insane. Of course, Apple and Epic lay out strategies for their upcoming court battle. And they've outlined their arguments, and it's clear neither side intends to budge from their initial stances. Foss Patton's obtained filing showing that Epic will focus on its claims that Apple is abusing the App Store review process to stifle competition, as Apple only allows titles through the App Store and uses various measures to lock people into its products. It can use its app review process to stifle competition under the guise of security. Apple's 30% fee leads users to pay more for software like Fortnite in-app purchases. For Apple, the case revolves around the App Store benefits and the status quo. The 30% cut is the same as you find at Google Play Store, Steam, and console game shops, according to the company. The firm also maintained it faced competition from both those rival outlets and in hardware. The App Store is a central integrated feature of the iPhone. So anyway, we'll see where this goes. I think Apple, if this goes, you know, to a jury, they might lose. People are not super sympathetic when it comes to monopolization. We'll see where this leads. I'm predicting that Epic might win this, and I know nothing besides what I've told you here. But we'll see. I guess it's all jury selection is always the key, right? Warner Brothers is going back to the theater, first release in 2022. Movies like The Batman won't hit HBO Max on the same day they arrive in theaters. So they're returning to normality for its big movie releases next year. The current strategy of releasing all the studio's films on HBO Max and in theaters on the same day won't continue beyond 2021. During 2021, all Warner Brothers theatrical releases are available to every HBO Max subscriber for 30 days. So that's interesting. I didn't know they were only for 30 days. And I haven't been on HBO Max. I mean, yes, HBO Max? No. Yeah, I haven't been on HBO Max in a while, so I guess I should go check, right? Amazon's Luna 720p streams help you play with poor connectivity. So if you play the games on Luna and you have an issue with bandwidth, they can reduce data consumption by going to 720p model and also increase maybe your response time. Hey, I got the chance to review Voyagers. No, this is not a Star Trek series, nothing like that, but it is about space. And it's coming out tomorrow. And Voyagers is a new film classic. Well, it's follows the classic storyline that human race is at stake. And at the same time of this problem with Earth, we've only marginally advanced, having not yet achieved speed of light travel. So the setting is, imagine you were born into a sterile environment as an infant and bioengineered and everything. And you're really trained from the time you're born to travel in a largely automated spacecraft, reproduce and die in that spacecraft, and let second and third generation repeat and rinse and repeat to get to the new Earth. and then throw in some drugs to keep the emotions of young adults in check. And when they figure that out to stop, you can only imagine that fear, lust, passion, and power take hold and chaos reigns. So for those that love Space Odysseys, you're going to want Act 2 on this. So link is up in the show notes. We'll look for Voyager starting tomorrow. And it was really enjoyable. I think the thing, I won't tell you too much, but I think the thing that I really enjoyed about this movie is they did not go so sci-fi that the stuff you saw you couldn't believe. You know, it's advanced, let's say like 50 years more, but the aesthetics weren't so crazy that you couldn't believe that it would be possible for us to produce that in the near future. So I think that's the thing. It really set this apart. But anyway, link will be up in the show notes for you to check it out. Netflix is going to get exclusive streaming rights to future Sony films. The deal includes Uncharted as well as upcoming Spider-Man titles and other Marvel films. So this is outstanding. The two companies announced a new agreement that gives the streaming giant exclusive rights to Sony's upcoming theatrical releases beginning in 2022. With the deal, the new Sony movies will go exclusively to Netflix following their theatrical release. So big, big, big deal here. What is Uncharted? I don't know what that future movie is. Muslim civil rights group has sued Facebook for misleading content moderation claims. Muslim Advocates alleges the company routinely fails to remove rule-breaking posts. So this is a consumer protection lawsuit where they have said that the company routinely allows rule-breaking posts to stay up. They say its actions have allowed anti-Muslim hate to spread on the platform. As one example of Facebook's failures on the matter, organization points to a list of 26 anti-Muslim hate groups it shared with the company. Of those, 19 still have a presence on the network, and many have names with obvious anti-Muslim connotations. So they're going after Facebook on this. So we'll see where this lawsuit leads. Discovery Plus is the latest streaming service to land on Comcast Xfinity set-top boxes. So if you've got one, it's available on Flex now, and it's coming to X1 boxes soon. The Google I/O event returns in May virtually and free for the first time. This is awesome. So the virtual event is set to take place May 18th to the 20th. Google's followed in the footsteps of Microsoft and Apple in holding its biggest developer event virtually this year. And it will be free to attend. These are usually very expensive. When I send my dev team to the Amazon event, it's like $2,000 each to go, or $2,400. It's crazy expensive. So you'll be able to get some education on if you've got the opportunity to attend virtually. Atari has announced a new blockchain bureau to explore crypto and more. The company will still develop its gaming division alongside exploring new cryptocurrency ventures. And but they're getting into blockchain? That's a little bit weird. But who knows? They may be launching its own crypto casino. It just goes, it's all kinds of weird stuff what's going on here. So people are looking to cash in on this cryptocurrency stuff. Facebook hopes tiny labels on posts will stop users confusing satire with reality. Boy, I tell you, people cannot take a joke on Facebook. You can't say anything funny. Can't put an emoji on there. So they're trying to label posts that are of satire as satire, so people won't flip out. Have we gone to the point where we don't understand satire? As an example, future mayor of the year, I'll say anything to get elected. Just try it. Tell me what to say here in the comments, and I'll repeat it in my speech tomorrow at City Hall. Yes, satire. So, and there's a whole bunch of hate emojis on that post. So it goes to figure. Yes, they labeled it as satire. Boston Dynamics Spot, the robot tested in combat training with the French Army. Boy, I'd love to see that video. That exercise aimed to get students thinking about robots might be deployed in future combat situations. We need them as door kickers, really. The students designed three offensive and defensive missions with spot used primarily for reconnaissance. The scenarios were performed by students first without, and then with the aid of the robots. Other bots deployed were a remote-controlled tank-like vehicle called Optio X-20, armed with a cannon and a barracuda. What is that? An armor-plated wheeled drone designed to provide cover to advancing soldiers. So, Boston Dynamics coming to a combat situation near you. Lenovo's new gaming phone has a 720 hertz touch response rate. I guess that is pretty exciting. It calls octa triggers. It can really, so that must mean it can really detect stuff. I don't know. So those of you that are gamers on phones, definitely a link will be in the show notes for you to review. Best Buy's $200 Amazon Prime rival offers tech support and free installs. The membership service is still in beta, but will be available in 60 stores by the end of April. This $200 membership program meant to rival Amazon Prime and Walmart's own take on subscription service called Best Buy Beta. And while it's a lot more expensive than a year of Prime, it offers a perks that focus on providing services to customers who have a bunch of electronics in their homes. Members will enjoy unlimited Geek Squad tech support on all tech. Oh my gosh, I can hear it now. I can hear it now. This is what the next scam is going to be from out of Calcutta, India. All the scamming call centers are going to say, hey, this is the Geek Squad. This is the Geek Squad, and your $200 membership is due. Yes, it is. Pay us the $200 and Google Play cards, please. Facebook's experimenting with app Hotline. It's like Clubhouse with video. Well, it appears Facebook purchased Hotline a few years back and shelved it. Actually, they acquired it in 2017 and shut it down, but it's back. They're going to try to see if this thing will operate similar to Clubhouse and Twitter Spaces. Video and audio. So Hotline coming to a line near you. All right, everyone, this is going to bring me to the end. I want to do check email and see if I had any email that come in because I failed to do that on the last show. Where am I at for time? I'm doing good. Let's see here. Did I read this? Oh, Peter Stark. Yes, I'm sorry you're having trouble with unsubscribing from the newsletter with a email address you do not have access to and something like that. I'll see about getting you flipped around, okay? Definitely, I haven't acted on that yet, but I'll try to take care of that tomorrow for you, okay? So, Peter, thanks for the heads up. You're having trouble. All of those of you on the newsletter, there is an unsubscribe button on the bottom, but it appears because it's a Google Group newsletter, you still got to be able to have access to the Google Group account, I guess. And if you're having trouble unsubscribing, let me know. I'll remove you as well from the mailing list. Or if you want added, let me know as well. I'll be happy to do that. All right. I think that's going to bounce me out of here. And as always, don't forget about our sponsors. You know, definitely take care of GoDaddy. Get over there and get yourself a domain name or hosting account. $1 a month on the hosting accounts. Can't beat it. GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. For those of you that are insiders, I had a meeting with my team about some things going on with our private internal podcasting product. So I think if everything goes right, I'll be recording the first insider private podcast episode this coming weekend. And all of you will be getting your logins and email addresses and access to, if you want, those of you, the insiders, you can go ahead and download the Blueberry private podcasting app. So you'll find it in both the Android and iOS stores. So that you'll have access to the content and you'll get your login credentials directly. But anyway, I think that's going to bring me to the end of the show. GeekNews@gmail.com. GeekNews@gmail.com. I want to thank you all for being here. And I want to thank Domingo. I think it's Dominique that's come in on Clubhouse. Again, it didn't take any buddy from Clubhouse, because this was just going to be a replay on there, another distribution point, continue to play around with Clubhouse. But anyway, thanks everyone for being here. I'll be back with you on Monday for a regular edition of the Geekness Central podcast. Get over to geeknesscentral.com. If you're not a subscriber already, subscribe and follow the show. I definitely appreciate it. And all of you that have been on all the different video distribution points, thank you for being here. I did want to check real quick on YouTube before I bounce. I think we're good there. But if you're on Twitch or Twitter, depending on where you're at, thanks for watching. Again, we'll see everybody on Monday. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.